everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers. So let's get started.
Guys, we have a treat for you today. We usually are not into the gossip and the hot topics, but we could not resist because it's all kind of bacchanal, as Queen P says, going on in these streets. From the time the year started, bacchanal with Cat Williams, okay? Then you had Monique. You're having everybody going wild. So today, we decided that we want to talk about a couple of things that are going on, and we invited some friends on to join us. So let's introduce our friends here, Queen S and Queen E. Come on, introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Not too much.
So hi, I'm Queen E. I am a speech therapist from New York. I live in Yonkers currently, and I'm Caribbean. That's the vibe of this show, right? I'm Haitian.
Buck. Sock passe.
I'm Queen S. Born and raised in Brooklyn. I am a director of a youth program and have experience in developing youth programs, running youth programs, and just working with young adults across New York City that are systems involved. And if we're going to throw out the culture, my people, I'm from Belize.
But. I don't know what Belizean people say, but. So Queen P, let's get started.
So yes, welcome ladies. Thank you all for being here and spending this time with us. So I'm glad Queen H mentioned the Cat Williams. You know, I still ain't see it. So I'm gonna have to go back and watch that. So what I did see though, was this 50 part, Who the Fuck Did I Marry? With Risa Tisa on the TikTok and them. I thought it was very interesting. Each part I watched, I started Googling, like, what is arena football? What is this? What is that, right? Because I'm like, wait, how she didn't Google the whole time? And you have somebody to come in to stay with you in your place during the quarantine after knowing them for 2 weeks?
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk.
That was the shocking piece for me. I was a little alarmed for my good sis because I just did not understand after 2 weeks of meeting a human, how we got to residing together. I understand there was a pandemic. We didn't know what was up, down, what was coming next. The world shut down. You can't even go get your groceries properly. I understand all of that. But I just had an overarching aching of 2 weeks and living together. I don't know how y'all felt, but that was my first, like, I am lost at what is happening here. Because I don't know. I would tell you, I felt like I would be a Criminal Minds episode when the pandemic lifted and they'd come finding me. You know, like how that man had to dance for his life in Dahmer? Like, I'd had to be doing all kinds of extraness to get out of the situation. So I need to understand 2 weeks and how we ended up even residing together.
Okay. So she said that she went into the date with the intention on being married, like she was tired of playing games, and that he said also that he was tired of playing games, and he gave all this alleged information, like the first time they talked on the phone. She gave a little bit of history about like the first phone conversation. So I guess she felt she had enough information to then make this decision that she claims is informed, but I don't know. Other queens, chime in on the 2 weeks, please.
So I don't know. Queen H and I are like TikTok girlies. So we were there when it was all happening. Anybody who's not on TikTok found out about 5 days after we had already been on this like epic saga. And it was Queen H who put me onto it. And she said, we should listen to it because I love Queen H because that's what we do on TikTok. I'd be telling her, oh, yo, I'm into this, like follow this. So, you know, it's reciprocated. Now, Queen P, if you watched all 50 episodes, you have stamina, you have strength, you have the energy that I have never been able to possess, because my tolerance level for foolishness, I can only take but so much. I made it all the way up to episode 9. And then I said, I don't need to listen all the way to 50. That is insane. And it was like, there was stuff I just was like, all right, we're going to let it slide. We're going to let it slide. Because, all right, as a grown adult, I understand. I understand that stuff happens, right? Like, you speak to somebody and they finesse you. They say all the right words. They align with everything that you're saying. And so you allow yourself to be a little risky, because sometimes if you don't take risks, you don't live, right? So, okay. They moved in together after 2 weeks, which we all know is ridiculous. And she knows it's ridiculous. But, ooh, Queen H knows the stuff that she was saying. There's one thing to be a fool for love. And there's another thing to just be dumb. And that's where I feel like she just crossed the line of fool for love and just jumped right into the pool of dumb. And that's where I stand. I'll let somebody else take it over.
You wasn't going to be looking up them Zillow houses and...
not on, no, ma'am.
Going on round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There was a part when she actually found out that he never put the down deposit on the first house. And she found out. She had legit proof. And then when she asked him about it, he twisted it and said that there was an issue with the loan, him obtaining the loan or something with the bank or whatever. To me, that was ridiculous that at that point, she didn't say, now, hold on now. This is what I found out. Because at the end of the day, it didn't happen. And she still loved him. But I feel like that was where she jumped into the pool of dumb. Like I said, because at the end of the day, you allowed him to play in your face. I don't like liars. I want to know everything. I feel like the person in my life has to just tell me what it is. I'm allowed to get mad. I'm allowed to be happy. I'm allowed to be angry, because after you process whatever feeling that you're going through first, in a couple of days, I'll come around. But she never allowed herself to feel real feelings. She just allowed herself to stay in the world of Delulu. I couldn't listen past episode 9. It was a wrap for me. It's too much.
This is the truth. So we're going back and forth on TikTok because this is what we do. So first of all, let's just go back. We are the friends that send each other memes and videos all day. We ain't even say, hi, how are you? We don't ask what's going on, what color is the sky. We send in memes, we have conversation about the thing, and then we send in. We know you're alive, you're well, because if you don't send a meme back or you don't comment back, something's going on. So then I got to call you and say, what's happening? You see what I'm saying?
If you don't send a meme back, we're going to send more memes until we hear from you.
So this is what we do. And so me and Queenie, we be on the TikTok, right? And so we were talking, she said, I'm trying, but I can't get past it. This is dumb. And I'm like, well, you know, everybody is going through things. You know, the social work kicked in. So I'm like, you know, we have to understand the motivation. This, she was like, I'm not understanding nothing, because he is playing. She should have said something to him up front this time, but I'm done. I'm not watching no more. I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm watching all 50 because I need to see and hear everything. I want to hear him get busted out. I want to do all of that. And I was cheering for her when she regained her power. But of course, you know, as a clinician, I'm sitting there thinking, like, if this was my client, what would we be talking about right now? Because I would have had to come to Jesus moment with her at some point, right? Because I'd have been like, girl, he goddamn lying. Say something. Like, say something. Break it off. Do something. I mean, it was a lot. But I also like want to preface it that we have all been dumb. We have all been dumb. Okay, I know I have, right? And people had to pull me up. I have done the same thing she did as far as hiding stuff from people on doing something for a man, and then told my friends, and they were like, what the hell? That's not like you. Yeah, it's not like me, but you know, sometimes we be in DeLulu, okay? We be in DeLulu land, and we think we are so in love. I love him and he loves me and I'm going to be his wife and all of those things. That's where she was. She wanted to be a wife, but it's to the point where people have to understand in general. Are we wanting something so bad that we're allowing this thing here to cloud our vision? Right? We're not seeing it. And that's why I love Shira 7. Okay? And Shira 7, that's our girl. I don't know if you know about Shira 7, Queen P, and Queen S, but Shira 7, this is me and Queen E's girl. She be up
sprinkle,
there.
Sprinkle,
sprinkle. Sprinkle, sprinkle. She'd be like, what? She, what happened? Did you marry for love? She's like, no, I'm married to get paid, okay? Man can't do nothing for me but pay my bills. He need to love you more than you love him. I'd be like, yes, girl, tell him. Now, that's bad and it's toxic, but I love it. I love it because I feel like sometimes we go either or, two way, two off the deep end and we're sprinkle, sprinkle. and not loving and not doing all this other kind of stuff. And we like, we don't need a man for nothing but to pay my bills. I'm not doing anything. Like, there's parts of it that's true. All of it isn't, right? And or we go on the other deep end and we're like, we're a lover girl. We love everybody. Oh my God, I'm so in love. I will do anything for him. Amen, God, right? I think you got to be in the middle, because if you're in the middle, you can have discernment. You don't allow these love feelings to cloud your vision. You can still be in love with someone, but still be like, you lied to me. I don't appreciate that. And what are we going to do about it? Because she should have bust him out a long time ago.
I agree. I feel like how many fantasy houses are y'all going to look at? How many real estate agents y'all gonna talk to? How many alleged offshore account can't get the paperwork? What he was saying, oh, don't want to bring the proof of thing. How much of that y'all gonna do it? Yeah, y'all doing too much.
Wait, can we talk about the alleged person who posted the proof of funds finally in the offshore account and it's like $5 in the funds?
Wait, did I miss that piece? Hey, what piece you talking about, Queen S?
Listen.
What happened? Are you talking about the pre-approval letter from Chase, allegedly?
No. So there has been stuff coming out the woodwork. So
still?
Listen, it's still.
Hey, I need to go back.
Bacchanal, okay? So our girl, our good sis, Risa, okay? Because we still feel bad for her, right? She's still the victim in the situation, even though there were certain situations, because she did say, I take accountability for my role in this, right? And she learned her lesson. So she's still our good sis, right? Our good sis decided not to use names for a reason, right? Some dodo bird went to go find Mr. Legion, all right, and found out who he was and start posting about it. Now, she done woke up the devil, okay? She rose the demon. He out here posting his proof of funds, okay, because that's what it was. And by the way, somebody made shirts for Risa, proof of funds, da-da-da-da-da, or with the different sayings on there. I'm getting me a proof of funds shirt, okay? I'm going on Etsy and get me proof of funds, and I'm wearing that everywhere I go. I don't care. I don't care. Don't talk to me unless you got proof of funds, okay? So anyway, so he posted this thing. People done, you know how the internets work. They done Googled all his stuff, found out that he done took this picture from of some offshore account, like example of a statement, a PDF, and then did some work, because they were talking about his printer is printing, okay? He should own a Kinko's, okay? Because the way that this man is printing paperwork, he got all the papers for everybody.
He's good at Photoshop and photo editor.
I want to circle back for just one second. Queen H, now don't you call Miss Risa our good sis because she took accountability. Because Queen S and Queen H, no. You know, Queen P and I, we met a few times, but she don't know me like they know me. I always have this statement that I've said. You saying, yes, I take full accountability, is the same thing like you saying, I'm a crackhead, but you ain't never stopped smoking crack. So, okay, the first step is admitting. The second step is doing something about it. I don't know if I am quite sure that if the opportunity presented itself, she would do it again. That's my thing. So, I mean, in real life, if she was my homegirl and she would have been telling me these stories, I would listen. I would laugh. I would be like, girl. And I would use the famous Black phrase that we've all used one time or another. Girl, you better than me. That would come out of my mouth on an hourly basis with her. Whatever story, girl, you better than me. And I wish you the best. That's my other phrase that I love to tell people. I wish you the best. Because I am not convinced, although she's spilling her guts out, obviously that's her form of therapy. She may have, I didn't listen far enough to know if she ever made it to real therapy, but at least I know her telling the people is her still processing, hearing it aloud, whatever. All I'm saying is, I don't know how much I feel like, oh, poor Risa, she's the victim, because even her taking accountability doesn't exempt her from the fact that she, in her big age, we're not talking about Risa is a teenager. I know that we mentioned that we all have been dummies, dummies. That was in my teens and 20s, child. Even in my early 30s, I gave my early 30s a minute. But once I hit the mid-30s, life was life in, and I really made a lot of changes in the way that I handled a lot of things when it came to relationships with men. Risa, I in this big age, no, ma'am. So I don't know. I'm not going to call her. I mean, she was a victim, but I feel like some people allow themselves to be victims, and that's a self-esteem thing. And maybe if anybody else want to touch on that, how self-esteem affects people's willingness to accept less than they deserve.
Well, I mean, in the end, if you watch it at the end, you see that she did have a come to Jesus moment. She did end up talking about it. The problem was, is that she did not include people in what was going on. She didn't talk to her friends. She didn't talk to her family. She didn't do any of these things. So there was nobody really to say to her, oh, it better you than me. Right. There was none of that. By the time she started telling people, it already was going down. It already had went down. So by the end, she had mustered up what she needed to do. And listen, she got him good in the end. I'm not going to lie to you. She did good. She was smart in the end. She put the pieces together. She did all the other things. So that's why I'm still going to refer to her as my good sis, right? Because she did pull it together in the end. But I think, you know, with all of that said, I think you bring up a good point about self-esteem and how it affects how we interact with people, not just in relationships like romantic relationships, but platonic, right? You know, people pleasing, you know, is symptoms, that desperation, right? We have this really messed up view in society that if you're a woman and you're in your late 30s, 40s, and you've never been married, never have a kid, you're missing out on something. Now, the beautiful thing is that with social media, right, you see women living full lives, right? According to social media. Now, we don't know their personal life, but what they're showing is living full lives as single women enjoying themselves and not wanting no man and don't need no man. And I shouldn't say not wanting a man, but not needing a man, right? They're enjoying their life in their way. And I think, you know, that is starting to affect how people view being single, childless, whatever it may be, as a woman in her late 30s, 40s, you know, 50s, right? But there's still that stigma. And because I think also her religious views have an influence on it as well, because she kept talking about it, you know, the thing is to be married, right? Is to bear a child, to do all of these things. And so it's a lot of pressure. And so if you already feel a certain way that you're past your time, if you feel unsure of yourself, then you may settle on someone who's not the best for your life. And I think that's exactly, you know, what happened there, you know, even despite understanding that there were lies being told, right? This fear of having this conversation. If I had this conversation with him, he might leave. Well, go then, mister. Listen, now y'all know me and I'm raw, so, but I ain't gonna get fully raw. I always tell y'all, my saying is, the male anatomy is free. Okay, it is free. I ain't got to spare an expense. And men are like buses. One come every 15 minutes. Okay, so I'm gonna get off this bus and get on the next one. And the next bus might be an express bus. Okay, it might be better. Okay, it might be nice and lavish. So I'm gonna go ahead and get on this bus and I'm gonna do what I have to do. I ain't got to ride this janky bus. Okay, so I try to, especially when I'm talking to young ladies, like, listen, fall in love, do all of that, but also understand your worth, your value. But these men, don't get hung up on someone that's not treating you right. Go to the next. There's always a next one. Be he black, white, Asian, whatever you want. I'm saying, be out there for the persuasion, okay?
You know what I found through her clips as well? Something that I feel is like super important just in life in general, she was ignoring her gut. She was ignoring her instincts. Even if she didn't talk to people to get a second ear, another opinion, her gut was telling her stuff was off, and she would not listen to whatever was happening to her instinctually, little voice in her head, whatever was going on. She would consistently ignore it. And I think that's a part of that, like, piece of the puzzle. And when we're thinking about relationships and stuff, like, you have an intuition and you have a basis and you have a baseline. And you know when something just ain't right. You might not be able to identify it or put your finger on it, but you know when something just ain't right. And I think, like, I felt you, Queen E, I did finish the 50 parts, but I felt you on the wanting to tap out because it was just like, what is happening here? But I did hang in because I was just like, nah, I just need to know and I'm curious. But the thing that kept driving me was like, here we go, you ignoring that gut again. Here we go, you ignoring that feeling. Here we go, you playing yourself because you ignoring whatever that nagging little thing is in you. And yes, staying in it. And I do think she stayed in it for all of those reasons Queen H mentioned, right? Like, she kept mentioning religion, and that was even a part. Like, we're living together, but we're not married. That was, like, something weighing on her. Then, like, the pregnancy, and then, okay, that happened, and we're not married, and that's weighing on her. But all of in between, every little step, she had a little nagging voice that she just kept ignoring till I think, like, she reached the point where the pot boiled over and she couldn't even ignore anything anymore, right? Like, it was just like, you have no longer have control to ignore it because it's so loud, it's so out there, it's so in your face, obnoxious and uncontainable anymore that you now have to deal with it. So she dealt with it. But I'm curious to see if there was still a way that it kept contained, would she have just chugged along in that situation? Or was it because it was uncontainable anymore that she had to, like, deal?
I'm still stuck on y'all listening. And it was 52 episodes. 10 minutes per episode times 52. Y'all had 520 minutes that y'all could have invested anyway in y'all lives. I gave 90 minutes and I want at least 40 of them minutes back because it was the same old stuff on a brand new day. And I just really, ooh, like a glutton for punishment. That's how I feel. I'm glad that she reached out for the help that she needed. I'm glad that she found resolve in whatever punishment she gave on back to him. I don't want to know no more though, because That DeLulu is contagious. You can't hang around or listen to too much foolishness in your life. I'm trying to tell y'all, Dr. Umar told us we got to control the levels and the amounts of foolishness in our lives. That's all negativity clouding you. So I could give 40 minutes back to what I listened to. The 90 minutes I gave was 90 too many. Y'all had 520 minutes. I don't know what that translates into to hours. Y'all do the math, 60 divided by that. But I mean, I'm glad she found her resolve. I wish her the best still. I hope I don't see in 2 years another Who the Fuck Did I Marry season 2. No, ma'am. Your time is over. And just to flip a little bit on a side comment, Queen H and I also then discover on social media that because of Risa, now on TikTok, there is a bunch of women specifically during 2020 that have met all of these scamming ass men that have done extremely similar things as Risa Tisa and Legion. And there was one that I sent to Queen H. I wish I could remember the creator's name. I should have went in and looked for it. But I was sharing with Queen H that I liked her story better. First of all, she didn't take 52 parts to give me what the moral of the story was. She took about 20 parts, which is still a lot of time. I'm not going to negate that it wasn't a lot of time. But I think that what I was telling Queen H, why I preferred her story over Risa Tisa, was because although she demonstrated the same level of delusion, she also, when telling the story, had a lot more emotion, a lot more inflection, a lot more. So basically, this other woman that I think Queen H is looking up the person's name as we speak, but the story that she was telling was basically she met a man in 2020. He worked in a restaurant. He squeezed her into a reservation for her friend's birthday, even though they didn't have any space. And he told her, oh, when you come, bring me a Powerade, like as my thank you gift for getting you in. And that was already strike one, because she really went out of her way to give him a Powerade for doing the job that he gets paid to do every day. But that's another story for another day. Long story short, they went on their first date. He came to her house and he ain't never left. So she did less than 2 weeks. That man was in her house after one date. But we're not going to get into the too much intricacies, but she did the same thing. She went and got married to this man that she knew was lying. And she found out from his own father that this boy is a compulsive liar. He just make anything up. There's no reason. There's no rhyme. He lied and said that he had a daughter. He ain't had no daughter. Lied and said he was married. He wasn't married. Lied and said that he used to live. He drove her to a neighborhood. Oh, I used to live in that house. I was renting it from this one and this one. And then at some point, she went and researched and found out it was a lie. The difference that I feel also, I already told you about the emotion, but also every time he lied, she checked him. And she confronted him right away. She actually would tell him, now listen, just know that when I'm questioning you, I already know the answer to the question. So make sure your response comes correct, because it is what it is. And even if he lied, she would not stop until she got it, the right answer from him. He would eventually admit it. It was a little bit different. When Queen H gives y'all the name, I would definitely suggest y'all listen to that story. It gives a different kind of version of this, you know, two ends of the same coin. Is that the expression? I don't know. But I don't know. I liked it better. Take it away, Queen H.
Yeah. So it's Vibes with Jillian. And Queen E liked it because she cussed. She cussed at hers. She was definitely theatrical. I didn't get to finish it yet because there's so many different things we was watching. Our good brother Eric Mays, he passed away. So we was watching some of his, you know, videos talking about point of order, telling people they're handkerchief head Negro, you know, all these other kind of stuff. So we watch a lot of different things, but I think it did spark a lot of different stories, people's stories about who the F they married or who they dealt with. And a lot of people was coming out of Atlanta, child. Stay out of Atlanta. I'm sorry to our listeners in Atlanta. But there was a lot of Atlanteans getting scammed and Texans, okay? Stay out of them two places, okay? It ain't right. But I just want to segue to something else really quick before we go. I don't know if you guys have been watching about our good sis, Wendy Williams. Now, there's some posts and stuff like that, but this thing is so sad and it's so tragic. When I tell you, I wanted to box down the people then. Listen, I know some people don't like Wendy, but I like Wendy, okay? I done been to the show 3 times, okay? Wendy. Listen, I was entertained, okay? Listen, Wendy used to find out certain stuff and tell the people in the streets, and y'all would say, oh, she lying, but then later on we find out it's the truth. She would be talking about people's sexuality. She would be talking about who did this, who did that. Well, I'm still telling you, listen, I was a cokehead. I was sniffing the coke, and I liked the cocaina, all right? She didn't have no problem saying it. She liked it. And then she changed her life when her husband and son came, and then she had her son, right? This man done mess up this woman's mind. You see, when you have this man, and they're not good for you, yes, he kept certain stuff together, but he drive her to drink. Right? And now she got alcohol-induced dementia. What's going on? Y'all got to take it away because I don't like my good sister look like this. They done made her a fool in these streets, okay? In these streets.
What got me was, so we know that she has a guardian or a conservatorship, right? You're not able to touch the money at Wells Fargo. In the documentary, you see Wendy with a stack of money, like just in her dress on her, in her room, what have you. And then we start to see these bottles like pop up, right? And so Will, I think Will is the manager, and Will is saying like, where did this come from? Where did this come from? But he ain't really doing nothing to make sure the bottles don't pop up, right? If you have a guardian and a conservatorship, there's supposed to be limits in place to minimize particular behaviors, particular access to certain things, right? You're dealing with someone who has alcohol-induced dementia. That is a very real diagnosis. We've seen it in these ED streets. We know what that looks like, right? These people are in place to ensure safety and well-being, in addition to making sure that she's not being taken advantage of financially. So who's going to the liquor store? Wendy Williams ain't taking her big ass into the liquor store. Where the fuck is she getting the bottles from? How does she have bottles all the time? You dash where one show up. You dash where one show up. How is that happening? Who has access to her that's giving her access to these things? Because y'all want to keep her fucked up. Y'all want to keep her laid in the bed, eyes like this, looking crazy, porting, emotional, crying. Like, the people who are in and out seem really transient. It doesn't seem like anyone's consistently there to stay, to monitor, to support, to guide. It doesn't seem like she's just out here by herself. And then the people who care about her are mysteriously being isolated. There's a lot going on here that we need to dig into. Queen S, Queen E, what are your thoughts about this? Have y'all seen the documentary?
Yes. I think what broke my heart was her consistent statements, and like she was alone, she felt alone. So I think that drives to what you were saying of like, conveniently, right? Like she even liked the documentary people being in her house because it meant that she wasn't by herself. So almost like trading off this exposure for just having company and people around consistently and around the clock, when you're like, okay, if he's supposed to look out for her and manage her and take care of those things, and like you mentioned, she's not going outside because she's clearly had issues with walking on her own and doing those things, that means that the small group of people who have access to her are the ones who are delivering these items. So it's not like who's bringing it, it's just like it's clearly one of the three of you or four of you who we saw here delivering that. But it broke my heart when she kept just talking about like she's lonely and being alone. And I know, you know, we don't know her personally, we know who she is in terms of media, but to see like a huge personality like that kind of be in this position to feel lonely and feel by themselves, and to then her family is like craving to be there for her, and they're being boxed out and isolated, and her one and only kid that she has, you know, is like fighting for her to stop drinking and did all of the things to kind of really produce a healthier lifestyle for her. And then that gets shut down by external forces. It's just like wild and really, really sad that like this is like how her story has played out, considering like how much she's worked and how hard she's worked and how she's built her career and built herself in media and actually been the blueprint, right, for a lot of people. It's just really, really sad. Like this is the culmination of all of that work.
So I've kind of been indifferent about the Wendy as a person. Like I've never been the girly to like, ooh, let me watch Hot Topics. So I didn't love Wendy. I didn't hate Wendy, but I did appreciate that she was always consistent. She kept the same energy with everybody. It didn't matter if it was the queen. It didn't matter if it was somebody that was poor. She kept the energy. And when she was confronted by those people who she gave that energy to, she never wavered. She never like became a punk. She always just stood 10 toes down. I said what I said. It is what it is. So, you know, like I have admiration for that type of personality. Queen P, you hit it on the head. I said, everybody who's on her team is a crook. And the judge who allowed the guardianship got to be a crook, because there's a lot of things in this whole scenario that make absolutely no sense. And the fact that her team was so hyper-focused on getting her back to work, making sure she can work, because she's going to work. And I'm watching this documentary and I'm like, her? They want her to work. They don't see that she's flipping out on each and every one of them because she can't control what she's saying. She's having these verbal outbursts on a regular basis, but she's going to work. So I remember, I would say a year or so ago, I had seen something on social media that they had mentioned that, so basically when Wendy's show got cut off, she was playing alimony to her husband, Kevin. And once she stopped working, the alimony stopped. Surprise, surprise, his new wife ain't staying for the ride no more. Because she was listening to Shira 7, Sprinkle, Sprinkle. And when the water ran dry, she done moved herself on to the next big well. I heard on social media that Kevin then tried to come back to Wendy. Tried to get back into her life. And I remember the person who had reported this information. It was one of those gossip bloggers. I think it was something I was watching on YouTube. That person had made a joke and said, I wouldn't be surprised if Wendy wasn't making up having issues because she didn't want to pay Kevin back. Like, she just pretending like something is wrong with her because she just sick of him and his new wife and his new life and whatever. And so she's just not going to work and he's going to suffer for it. And I think that there's a part of me after watching the documentary that wishes I never really knew what was really going on with her situation. I would have lived happy knowing that, yeah, maybe Wendy is faking, you know what I'm saying? But now seeing that it's so real, I mean, and like I said, I've always been indifferent. That pushed me on the side of like, nah, this is not right. But I do want to share with you all that right before we got together, I was on TikTok, is what I do. So there's an update that just came out today that the judge that that was involved in the guardianship apparently has been involved in some very questionable other situations of guardianships where she was just basically going in favor of whichever people donated to her campaign, because I believe that she was running for a Supreme Court or something like that. And so, you know, when you campaign, you got to lobby some money. So apparently, just because of this documentary, you know how these fans are. You give them an inch, they running and riding and dying to free that person that was their person. So now they already exposing the judge. So I wouldn't be surprised if we give it a few more days, a few more weeks, if they not pulling stuff out the woodworks. And I wouldn't be surprised if something is changed. So although I think it was unfortunate that we even had to see Wendy in this light, because like Queen S said, somebody with that big personality, to see her be shrunken down after all of her accomplishments, all of her achievements to this, that was sad. But I really hope and I really pray that this actually does bring her back to her family, back to her son, and gets her the actual support that she needs. Because every single person right now who is on her team supposed to be helping her, all of those people should get some kind of charge, because this is a joke. This is, you know, I don't even know.
They need to be investigated themselves, right? Call Adult Protective Services on them. Okay, because she's still being financially abused, okay? Y'all think that she was financially abused before? It's happening. They taking the woman their money. And I heard that rumor about him not being paid if she's not working. That's something that was a part of the divorce decree, supposedly. That was a hot topic. It was a part of the divorce decree, as if she was not making money from that show. If the show was done, his dollars were done. And he was running out of money. So he lost his house in Florida. When he lost the house in Florida, something like that, the fiance left. The fiance, the baby mother left. So yes, that was it. And I too heard that, oh, people were like, oh, listen, she playing a good long game. He ain't getting no dollars. But I think seeing the documentary is important for a number of reasons, right? And I don't like it. It is exploitive. It's all of those things. But I think it needed to happen for her sake, so that people can see how the court came together, how these entities came together and took her from her family. Now, they were talking about the son spending up money or whatever. She said in a documentary, my money's for my son. Okay, it's for my son. So if he want $80,000 in Uber Eats, she said okay, because he's ordering food for him and her, right? She took care of her mother and father. She bought them their apartment. She had him in his apartment. So why would you think that he cannot access her money? Like, that is absurd to me. And she was doing better when she was down there in Florida. She wasn't drinking. She wasn't doing any of those things. So why call her back up to New York for foolishness? What kind of bacchanal is that, right? And then the part that really bothers me is, as social workers, Queen P and I saw firsthand working in healthcare, just how guardianship work and don't work. And I'm going to speak for myself, right? Because, you know, there's always liabilities. I'm going to speak for myself that the experience that I've had with guardians coming into the hospital or whatever, and for people, they did nothing for the people. It's very rare that I saw guardians that were actually doing what they were supposed to do for the person. If Wells Fargo was nervous, I get that. Money was drawn out. I get it, right? They could have appointed the financial guardian, but still let her be with her son, to take her totally away. See, that, to me, that's what was absurd. And I hope everything gets exposed. And I hope they do find out the evidence that this was going on with the judge. Like, this is not alleged, but this is true. And Wendy is where she's supposed to be, because she did make a mark, right, in history. She did pave the way for many of your favorite personalities, radio, TV, otherwise, right? She was the difference between Oprah and them people. Listen, white, black, everybody liked Wendy. Okay, they was at the show. I'm telling you, because I was in the audience. I seen them, old, young, gay, straight, whoever it was, right? They were all there. So she does not deserve this. How come Bruce Willis get to have his situation in peace and quiet, but black ass Wendy have to be out here strung in the street and they treating her like this? They ain't asking Bruce Willis' family about his money and what they spending.
Listen, when you just brought that up, that's the first thing that came to my head. Like, very interesting that there's questions of her son using her funds, when I'm like, little to me be using up mommy and daddy funds for all kinds of foolishness, and are the questions leveraged in the same way against their access and their ability to use the money that their parents worked for. Like, I think not. I was like, I wholeheartedly believe, because she repeated that over and over. Like, she wasn't going to deny that. We see how she lived the things that she liked. She liked that expensive. Like, she wasn't being like, let me go get his stuff from Kmart or whatever.
She was
like,
gaudy.
That wasn't going to be how he lived. Like, so why wouldn't we think, you know, I'm curious as heck what, you know, how you get your Uber Eats that high. Because, Lord, you know, I'd be struggling with, you know, a little $40, $50. But, you know, if I could have got to that, I'd get a little lobster tail or something, I would have too. But I could not imagine that, like, it would be like he's out here against his mother's will. When she's continuously said, like, from the time that she's had him, like, she worked, right, for that legacy to leave for him, to leave that money behind for him. And it's just like, that's an issue for you. Why?
One last point before we go. And the other thing that I saw in the comments were like, oh, when they saw her, they didn't hug her. I don't think people understand the toll it is to deal with someone with dementia, deal with someone that has alcoholism, and someone that has both, right? What I saw in his face is he was tired. What I saw in his face is that he's a young man and his mom is not supposed to be this way at this age for him. And he doesn't know what to do. The person sitting in front of him is not his mom. He is mourning the loss of his mom. His mom is dying slowly in front of his face. So I'm sorry that he's not hugging and kissing. That may have never been him. We're not here to judge that. But I can tell you that boy loved his mother. That's what I saw. And what I saw is a mother love her son. Every time she went to talk about her son, she was in tears. Even in her confusion. She was in tears because she know her son. She ain't got to know none of these other people. She said, take me to the Wendy show and take me back to the smoke shop. They done drove around that shit. Sorry. 45 times. But she know her son. Hell, she ain't even know her brother. She called her brother Kevin. But she know her son and she know her father. She know her mother. She ain't even know the brother. Lord Jesus, she ain't know the brother. That's how you know. First of all, I ain't like the brother anyway, because he was talking shit before anyway. So the brother can go. But I'm going to tell you, at that table, she knew her daddy and she knew her son. Hell, she even knew the nephew. She knew the niece. The niece was giving it to her straight, but I wanted to tell her, sweet baby, your aunt got dementia. You trying to give her a real talk. She not there. Like, you cannot be here and give her a real talk. You got to scale it back. But this is also too the court's fault, because they should have let the family help her, but then also order that the family get guidance on it. Alzheimer's Association, you know how many referrals that I made? Go talk to the people them and go join a support group. Do all of this, because they talk to you about dementia. They have support groups. They can do that, right? There's information. You know, I got to bring it back to the social work, right? This is what we're about, even though we went on the hot topic, but we got to bring it back because people need to know this information. Caring for someone with dementia is not easy. I have done it. It is not easy. When, listen, getting cussed out from them. Not everybody from dementia will cuss you out, but there's certain ones. I feel like there's the sweetest ones that may have been spicy sometimes, but when they get that dementia, Lord Jesus, it allows the thing being called all kind of fat bitches. I was, okay? All kind of what? So this is what I'm saying. There's a process that happens, and it's hurtful for the family. It is hard for the family. And we need to be able to really support and know the resources that are out there. So even if you don't take anything away from this today, Alzheimer Association, right? You need to, your family, as they're getting older, have them do activities. Have them take their supplements. Let them be active, because that wards off the dementia. Them sitting home just watching the TV make their brain rot. I done got on my soapbox, y'all. I'm sorry. Wrap it up for me, Queen P. Okay.
We love you on your soapbox, Queen H. Let me add two other pieces. In order to determine that someone's appropriate for guardianship, you got to meet like 5 to 8 criteria, right? And you need to apply in family court, civil court, depending on what's going on. So there's that. That tells me that somebody slipped somebody a few dollars? Because at no point, okay, Wendy was changing at the end of the Wendy Williams show. She said that she lived in a sober house on the air. She said she was struggling on the air. So we knew that there was some transitions happening. But for her to meet that criteria, something is amiss there. I can't see, based on what the criteria is, I can't see that she met all of the criteria. That's first of all. So how did she really get guardianship, conservatorship? Question mark. Additionally, you're absolutely right, Queen H. Resources, keeping active, those things definitely help to delay how someone would respond to memory loss. And so I just want to add, it's a crime sometimes to be Black in America, just to be Black in America, right? When you talk about Bruce Willis, you're damn skippy. And they posted him. He don't know. He's not even looking in the camera, child. Bruce Willis is sitting there with his eyes closed, his family taking pictures. Oh, this is love. Oh, we're knitting a sweater for grandpa. He living what a luxurious life. And he got dementia too, and aphasia and all kind of thing. And poor Wendy, out here have to be exploited in this way so she can actually get some help. Now, you know, we're going free Wendy, like we freed this white girl. What's her name? Britney Spears. How people say Britney. You know, I ask, gonna go ahead and say Wendy too, because Wendy is an icon, honey, a living legend, okay? And she will not go down without a fight, for sure. At the end of the documentary, the family was saying, like, she's doing better, et cetera, and I'm hoping that she makes a different comeback, right? But she needs to be able to do that. And what we saw in that document, this woman is not able. She's talking about, I'm going to be on TV on Wednesday. I'm going to be on TV. Girl, she's only saying that and ruminating with that because that's what the people in her environment are saying, too. She's only repeating what she hears. It's clear that she's not present, and it's clear that she don't know what the hell she's saying, right? So I know that that's what people in her environment are doing, trying to get her to go back to work so that they can go ahead and collect these dollars off this lady. But anyway, I digress. Thank you for discussing hot topics, ladies. It's my hope that we'll be able to do another episode like this if y'all are willing to come back, and then we can get into Cat Williams because I haven't seen it. So I'm gonna go do my homework, and then we're gonna chat Cat Williams and them and the next hot topic sometime soon. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Thanks.
Bye.
If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.